Chapter 134. To claim any wages, board or otherwise, in all time to come, he muttered an inarticulate remonstrance and felled Mr. Benjamin Allen to the ground. As that gentleman had his hands entangled in his cravat, he had no alternative but to follow him to the floor. There they both lay struggling, when the shop door opened, and the party was increased by the arrival of two most unexpected visitors, to wit, Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Samuel Weller. The impression at once produced on Mr. Weller's mind by what he saw, was, that Mr. Martin was hired by the establishment of Sawyer, late Knockemurf, to take strong medicine, or to go into fits, and be experimentalized upon, or to swallow poison now, and then with the view of testing the efficacy of some new antidotes, or to do something or other to promote the great science of medicine, and gratify the ardent spirit of inquiry burning in the bosoms of its two young professors. So, without presuming to interfere, Sam stood perfectly still, and looked on, as if he were mightily interested in the result of the then pending experiment. Not so, Mr. Pickwick. He at once threw himself on the astonished combatants, with his accustomed energy, and loudly called upon the bystanders to interpose. This roused Mr. Bob Sawyer, who had been hitherto quite paralyzed by the frenzy of his companion. With that gentleman's assistance, Mr. Pickwick raised Ben Allen to his feet. Mr. Martin, finding himself alone on the floor, got up and looked about him. Apostrophe Mr. Allen, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, what is the matter, sir? Apostrophe, never mind, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe replied Mr. Allen, with haughty defiance. What is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick, looking at Bob Sawyer. Is he unwell? Apostrophe, apostrophe, before Bob could reply, Mr. Ben Allen seized Mr. Pickwick by the hand, and murmured, in sorrowful accents, my sister, my dear sir, my sister. Apostrophe, oh, is that all? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. We shall easily arrange that matter, I hope. Your sister is safe and well, and I am here, my dear sir, to apostrophe, sorry to do anything as may cause an interruption to such very pleasant proceedings, as the king said when he dissolved the parliament, apostrophe interposed Mr. Weller, who had been peeping through the glass door, but there's another experiment here, sir. Here's a venerable old lady a lying on the carpet waiting for dissection, or galvanism, or some other reviving and scientific invention. Apostrophe, I forgot, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Ben Allen. It is my aunt. Apostrophe, dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Poor lady. Gently, Sam, gently. Apostrophe, strange situation for one o' the family, apostrophe observed Sam Weller, hoisting the aunt into a chair. Now Deputy Sawbones, bring out the woolly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the latter observation was addressed to the boy in gray, who, having handed over the fly to the care of the street keeper, had come back to see what all the noise was about. Between the boy in gray, and Mr. Bob Sawyer, and Mr. Benjamin Allen, who having frightened his aunt into a fainting fit, was affectionately solicitous for her recovery, the old lady was at length restored to consciousness. Then Mr. Ben Allen, turning with a puzzled countenance to Mr. Pickwick, asked him what he was about to say, when he had been so alarmingly interrupted. We are all friends here, I presume? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, clearing his voice, and looking towards the man of few words with a surly countenance, who drove the fly with the chubby horse. This reminded Mr. Bob Sawyer that the boy in gray was looking on, with eyes wide open, and greedy ears. The incipient chemist having been lifted up by his coat collar, and dropped outside the door, Bob Sawyer assured Mr. Pickwick that he might speak without reserve. Your sister, my dear sir, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, turning to Benjamin Allen, is in London, well and happy. Apostrophe, her happiness is no object to me, sir, apostrophe said Benjamin Allen, with a flourish of the hand. Her husband is an object to me, sir, apostrophe said Bob Sawyer. He shall be an object to me, sir, at 12 paces, and a pretty object I'll make of him, sir, a mean-spirited scoundrel. Apostrophe apostrophe this, as it stood, was a very pretty denunciation, and magnanimous withal, but Mr. Bob Sawyer rather weakened its effect, by winding up with some general observations concerning the punching of heads and knocking out of eyes, which were commonplace by comparison. Stay, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, before you apply those epithets to the gentleman in question, consider, dispassionately, the extent of his fault, and above all, remember that he is a friend of mine. Apostrophe, what? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Bob Sawyer. His name. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Ben Allen. His name. Apostrophe, apostrophe Mr. Nathaniel Winkle, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Mr. Benjamin Allen deliberately crushed his spectacles beneath the heel of his boot, and having picked up the pieces, and put them into three separate pockets, folded his arms, bit his lips, and looked in a threatening manner at the bland features of Mr. Pickwick. Then it's you, is it, sir, who have encouraged and brought about this match? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Benjamin Allen at length. And it's this gentleman's servant, I suppose, apostrophe interrupted the old lady, who has been skulking about my house, and endeavoring to entrap my servants, to conspire against their mistress. Martin. Apostrophe, well? Apostrophe apostrophe said the surly man, coming forward. Is that the young man you saw in the lane, whom you told me about, this morning? Apostrophe apostrophe Mr. Martin, who, as it has already appeared, was a man of few words, looked at Sam Weller, nodded his head, and growled forth, that's the man. Apostrophe Mr. Weller, who was never proud, gave a smile of friendly recognition as his eyes encountered those of the surly groom, and admitted in courteous terms that he had known him before. Apostrophe, and this is the faithful creature, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Ben Allen, whom I had nearly suffocated. Mr. Pickwick, how dare you allow your fellow to be employed in the abduction of my sister? I demand that you explain this matter, sir. Apostrophe, explain it, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Bob Sawyer fiercely. It's a conspiracy, apostrophe said Ben Allen. A regular plant, apostrophe added Mr. Bob Sawyer. A disgraceful imposition, apostrophe observed the old lady. Nothing but a do, apostrophe remarked Martin. Pray hear me, apostrophe urged Mr. Pickwick, as Mr. Ben Allen fell into a chair, that patients were bled in, and gave way to his pocket handkerchief. I have rendered no assistance in this matter, beyond being present at one interview between the young people which I could not prevent, and from which I conceived my presence would remove any slight coloring of impropriety that it might otherwise have had. This is the whole share I have had in the transaction, and I had no suspicion that an immediate marriage was even contemplated. Though, mind, apostrophe added Mr. Pickwick, hastily checking himself, mind, I do not say I should have prevented it, if I had known that it was intended. Apostrophe, you hear that, all of you, you hear that? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Benjamin Allen. I hope they do, apostrophe mildly observed Mr. Pickwick, looking round, and, apostrophe added that gentleman, his color mounting as he spoke, I hope they hear this, sir, also. That from what has been stated to me, sir, I assert that you were by no means justified in attempting to force your sister's inclinations as you did, and that you should rather have endeavored by your kindness and forbearance to have supplied the place of other nearer relations whom she had never known, from a child. As regards my young friend, I must beg to add that in every point of worldly advantage he is, at least, on an equal footing with yourself, if not on a much better one, and that unless I hear this question discussed with becoming temper and moderation, I decline hearing any more said upon the subject. apostrophe, I wish to make a worry few remarks in addition to what has been put forward by the honorable gentleman as has just give over, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, stepping forth, which is this here? A individual in company has called me a feller. Apostrophe, that has nothing whatever to do with the matter, Sam, apostrophe, interposed Mr. Pickwick. Pray hold your tongue. Apostrophe, I ain't a goin' to say nothing on that ear pint, sir, apostrophe, replied Sam, but merely this here. Perhaps that gentleman may think as there was a prior attachment, but there warn't nothing o' the sort, for the young lady said in the worry beginning o' the keepin' company that she couldn't abide him. Nobody's cut him out, and it 'ud ha' been just the worry same for him if the young lady had never seen Mr. Winkle. That's what I wish to say, sir, and I hope I've now made that ear gentleman's mind easy. A short pause followed these consolatory remarks of Mr. Weller. Then Mr. Ben Allen, rising from his chair, protested that he would never see Arabella's face again, while Mr. Bob Sawyer, despite Sam's flattering assurance, vowed dreadful vengeance on the happy bridegroom. But just when matters were at their height, and threatening to remain so, Mr. Pickwick found a powerful assistant in the old lady, who, evidently much struck by the mode in which he had advocated her niece's cause, ventured to approach Mr. Benjamin Allen with a few comforting reflections, of which the chief were, that after all, perhaps, it was well it was no worse. The least said the soonest mended, and upon her word she did not know that it was so very bad after all. What was over couldn't be begun, and what couldn't be cured must be endured. With various other assurances of the like novel and strengthening description. To all of these, Mr. Benjamin Allen replied, that he meant, no disrespect to his aunt, or anybody there, but if it were all the same to them, and they would allow him to have his own way, he would rather have the pleasure of hating his sister till death, and after it. At length, when this determination had been announced half a hundred times, the old lady, suddenly bridling up and looking very majestic, wished to know what she had done that no respect was to be paid to her years or station, and that she should be obliged to beg and pray, in that way, of her own nephew, whom she remembered about 25 years, before he was born, and whom she had known, personally, when he hadn't a tooth in his head. To say nothing of her presence on the first occasion of his having his hair cut, and assistance at numerous other times and ceremonies during his babyhood, of sufficient importance to found a claim upon his affection, obedience, and sympathies, forever. While the good lady was bestowing this objurgation on Mr. Ben Allen, Bob Sawyer and Mr. Pickwick had retired in close conversation to the inner room, where Mr. Sawyer was observed to apply himself several times to the mouth of a black bottle, under the influence of which, his features gradually assumed a cheerful, and even jovial expression. And at last he emerged from the room, bottle in hand, and, remarking that he was very sorry to say he had been making a fool of himself, begged to propose the health and happiness of Mr. and Mrs. Winkle, whose felicity, so far from envying, he would be the first to congratulate them upon. Hearing this, Mr. Ben Allen suddenly arose from his chair, and, seizing the black bottle, drank the toast so heartily, that, the liquor being strong, he became nearly as black in the face as the bottle. Finally, the black bottle went round till it was empty, and there was so much shaking of hands and interchanging of compliments, that even the metal-visaged Mr. Martin condescended to smile. And now, apostrophe, said Bob Sawyer, rubbing his hands, we'll have a jolly night. Apostrophe, I am sorry, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, that I must return to my inn. I have not been accustomed to fatigue lately, and my journey has tired me exceedingly. Apostrophe, you'll take some tea, Mr. Pickwick? Apostrophe, said the old lady, with irresistible sweetness. Thank you, I would rather not, apostrophe, replied that gentleman. The truth is, that the old lady's evidently increasing admiration was Mr. Pickwick's principal inducement for going away. He thought of Mrs. Bartle, and every glance of the old lady's eyes threw him into a cold perspiration. As Mr. Pickwick could by no means be prevailed upon to stay, it was arranged at once, on his own proposition, that Mr. Benjamin Allen should accompany him on his journey to the elder Mr. Winkle's, and that the coach should be at the door at 9 o'clock next morning. He then took his leave, and, followed by Samuel Weller, repaired to the bush. It is worthy of remark that Mr. Martin's face was horribly convulsed as he shook hands with Sam at parting, and that he gave vent to a smile and an oath simultaneously, from which tokens it has been inferred by those who were best acquainted with that gentleman's peculiarities, that he expressed himself much pleased with Mr. Weller's society, and requested the honor of his further acquaintance. "Shall I order a private room, sir?" inquired Sam, when they reached the bush. "Why, no, Sam," replied Mr. Pickwick. "As I dined in the coffee room, and shall go to bed soon, it is hardly worthwhile. See who there is in the traveler's room, Sam." Mr. Weller departed on his errand, and presently returned to say that there was only a gentleman with one eye, and that he and the landlord were drinking a bowl of bishop together. "I will join them," said Mr. Pickwick. "He's a queer customer, the one-eyed one, sir," observed Mr. Weller, as he led the way. "He's a gammon in that ere landlord, he is, sir, till he don't rightly know whether he's a standing on the soles of his boots, or the crown of his hat." The individual to whom this observation referred was sitting at the upper end of the room when Mr. Pickwick entered, and was smoking a large Dutch pipe, with his eye intently fixed on the round face of the landlord, a jolly-looking old personage, to whom he had recently been relating some tale of wonder, as was testified by sundry disjointed exclamations of, "Well, I wouldn't have believed it. The strangest thing I ever heard. Couldn't have supposed it possible." And other expressions of astonishment which burst spontaneously from his lips, as he returned the fixed gaze of the one-eyed man. "Servant, sir," said the one-eyed man to Mr. Pickwick. "Fine night, sir." "Very much so indeed," replied Mr. Pickwick, as the waiter placed a small decanter of brandy and some hot water before him. While Mr. Pickwick was mixing his brandy and water, the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.